Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Wednesday, February 28th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Your second daily dose of happy for the day. And I'm happy because we are now on the new laptop. That means no more drops. That means nice clean signals. That means I'm happy.
Boy, this is a long time coming.
I know.
It's a great day to celebrate.
It is.
I have a new laptop.
It has been a long time coming. I'm glad that we're finally closing that chapter because I am ready for it to be done.
I'm ready for smooth and ease.
I am also.
Wants us to live.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to do it, isn't it? I don't know why it took so long, but I finally got there. You know, sometimes we just kind of trip over ourselves as we're walking down the path. And, you know, I guess I got tired of tripping over myself.
Well, you know, we get there when we get there. And you were quite the holdout. I think because you are so technically savvy, you thought your technical savvy was going to get you through it. And, you know, eventually it could have if, you know, you hung in there longer. But I'm really grateful that you went, you know what, my time and my energy is much more valuable than trying to prove that I can do it.
Absolutely true. And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. I finally reached that realization and, oh boy, it's so much nicer to be on this side of it. I can tell you that. Oh.
That's awesome. And of course, we all know that whenever you get a new computer, you have a ton of things to set up.
Oh yeah, of course.
That'll be taking you a couple days, but you know, hey, we're on the new system right now and that's incredibly awesome.
And actually, believe it or not, I'm almost done with the setup. I mean, I do have a few things left to do, but I think I've got like 85% of it, 90% of it done. So I'm almost done.
Wow. You're fast. You're really fast. Good for you.
Well, you know, once I get something under my craw, I have to do something about it. So.
So other than you getting your computer, I don't know if you had time for anything else, but were there any other wins in your day?
I had a obvious opportunity to go take a walk, which I did because there was a very long time where a whole bunch of installation was going on and I had to just sit there and watch it. So I said, well, actually, I don't have to just sit there and watch it. I can go take one of my walks. So I went and took a walk and it was great. It was wonderful. It's actually a very warm day for Connecticut, not by, you know, Dallas standards, but it's a warm day for Connecticut, upper 50s for February. That's unbelievable.
Oh, so, that's wonderful. That's beautiful weather.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm loving it. So. Yeah, it's been a good day. How about you?
Well, I want to give my update on Project X.
Oh, okay.
So I would say a little bit last night and then today a little bit. I'm feeling a bit antsy because we all know, as I've talked about many times, I'm a doer.
Mm.
And not having something tangible to do is starting to get under my skin a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
I understand.
You know, and then all of a sudden these weird thoughts came like, what if I'm making this up to the point that, like, it's all my imagination and law of attraction doesn't know what the heck I want. And, you know, it's not going to happen just because I say it's going to or because I think it's going to or because I want it to. I mean, these are like normal stray thoughts,
yeah.
I think, that we all get from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm not necessarily surprised that they showed up, but I'm like, really? Because when you go into doubt, it just feels so uncomfortable and unnerving.
It's not a happy place. So,
it's not. And so as I was kind of trying to talk myself into a better feeling place, I had something kind of interesting happen this afternoon, and I thought maybe I'd process it while we're here on the phone. So I was working, doing my job, and I had a vendor email me saying, oh, we haven't gotten paid for such and such invoice, and can you help me find somebody who can help get this payment made?
Mm.
Well, I looked at the invoice, and it wasn't one that belonged to me, and it was actually one that belonged to somewhere south of the border, but
oh.
I couldn't really tell. Our company has like 13,000 employees and multiple contractors, so I'm scratching my head. And I thought, but bless their hearts, they don't know where else to go. You know, and they're writing to me in Spanish, which I don't speak. So I put everything they write into Google Translate.
Right.
And Google Translate at least gives me an idea of what they're asking.
Yep.
So I thought, well, okay. So I look at the invoice and I kind of get an idea. Okay. I saw the word events and I went, I know what that word means. And we do have an events department. So I thought, okay, it looks like they did some work for our events team. And I went, but who on earth, of the gazillions of employees we have, who do I even reach out to? Because that's not my department, and I don't know anybody outside of, you know, where I am. So I look at our associate directory, and I just type in the business unit as events, and up comes gazillions of names. And I'm like, well, I think it would have to be somebody that because it was a translation service where they translate to and from English. So I went, well, it wouldn't be any of our America oriented events people because they all speak English and wouldn't have need for translation. So I was kind of looking for, okay, I knew that the invoice was invoiced to our Mexico group. So I was just kind of looking and kind of glancing through, and I would say probably within 60 seconds, my eyes just kind of locked onto this one person. And it said that she worked in our company in Brazil because our company's global. And I went, okay. And one thing I know in our company is to work here, you have to speak English. So at least I can type in English and they'll understand me. So I just sent out this email just kind of saying, hey, this is what's going on. I found you in the associate directory. Can you help me or tell me if someone that you think can help me? Blah, blah, blah. I get a response, I swear to God, within 2 minutes. I'm expecting this to sit in someone's inbox scratching their head for a week, right?
Wow.
Within 2 minutes, she responds and said, oh, yes, as a matter of fact, blah, 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 and I think so-and-so can help you with that. And she included that person on the CC line. And I'm like, whoa. And I mean, within an hour, we exchanged emails probably 10 times as we were asking more questions and whatever. But I had locked on to the right person. Now, why do I share that? Because I'm not so smart that I believe that because I did look in the associate directory after the fact, there were over 100 people listed in the events departments around our global world for our company. I'm like, and how did my eyes just happen to lock upon the person who is the person that could help me? And the answer was, hello, law of attraction.
Basically, we're talking about is something that where you had odds of 100 to 1 against you and you won.
Yeah. Like if there were literally 100 people I could choose from, I had a 1% shot of getting the right person. And yet on the first go around, I found the right person.
That's pretty good.
And this is not the first time this kind of thing has happened for me.
That's pretty darn good.
And so what it tells me is law of attraction is so working for me that I didn't even like ask law of attraction a question. I didn't say, hello, inner being, help me with this. I like thought about it. I went, well, I think I need to find someone in the events department. And I took action and I went to our associate directory and I didn't even know how to know if I would know.
Yeah, right. Well
and
said,
yet,
well said.
In the moment my eyes locked upon this one name, something inside of me went, yeah, try this one. And I didn't even bother continuing to look down the list.
The person
was maybe number 15 on the list. And it wasn't until after I had this incredible response, I went back to the associate directory and I looked and went, oh my God, there's like 100 people listed here. And I went, how did I find the one? Talk about the needle in the haystack.
Right, yeah.
I found the needle in the haystack.
Congratulations.
And I went, thank you, law of attraction. You guide me so beautifully. And so then I started thinking about the doubts that I've been having about Project X today. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. This little something at my job means so little to me by comparison to Project X. And it's like, if my inner being and the law of attraction conspire to help me find the needle in the haystack at my job, how much more do they care about me? Because I have so much desire for the fulfillment of Project X. Of course, that's a bigger deal. And I'm really not throwing resistance on the fire. I mean, today, yeah, a little bit of doubt. There's a little bit of resistance. But the level of momentum that I have created for Project X is really quite substantial because I think about it all the time.
Mm.
And so why are the doubts coming up? I think they're coming up because I'm feeling the lack of action is unnerving to me.
Yeah.
Because I love to take action. I like, because as long as I'm a part of something, it kind of keeps my mind busy because I'm doing stuff.
Sure.
You know? And like when I was looking to buy a car, I was searching, and then it was time to get in my existing car and go look at the car lot, and then it was time to talk to sales managers. And so I was an active part of the whole process, like, or anything I buy, I'm an active participant. And it's really different and unfamiliar for me to say I'm an active participant in Project X when my sole participation at this time is using my mind to focus.
Mm. Yeah.
I know that's an active part, and I've seen Abraham say, your role is to be focusing, and that is an action. And don't make light of it. I heard them say this on a CD recently. Don't make light of it. Focusing is a big, big component, and it's required in order for you to manifest something. So I know I'm doing that, Walt, but it feels so easy because I do that easily.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, today's one of those days, and you know, I thought it's not really fair of me to share where I am every day that everything's good, everything's always wonderful, because today it's not feeling so great. Today it's a little bit teetering.
Well, it also keeps it interesting. I mean, like you say, if everything sounded rosy every day, no one would believe us anyway. We wouldn't believe us. I mean, no one would believe us.
Exactly. You know, well, so, you know, and what I do recognize today is, you know what, I have created so much positive momentum that I really don't think that the little bit of doubt that I've experienced today is going to, like, throw a monkey wrench in the whole project. Like,
no.
Whoa, slam on the brakes. Nope, we can't send that her way. It's like, no, it's so minor by comparison. I'm not really concerned about it. But I am seeking, you know, okay, how to move beyond this, because I don't like how this feels.
Mm.
This is not my normal self, you know. It's not comfortable. But I also know, whenever you're doing something for the first time and there's discomfort, that's kind of natural until it becomes familiar, until it becomes something you've done long enough that you go, oh, no, this is comfortable. You know, I've done mm-hmm. this before.
Yeah.
I'm just not there yet. So I guess I'm on my way to it.
I'm going to ask an obvious question. Have you asked your inner being the question that you asked us here?
Yes.
Have you got an answer?
Not yet.
Ah, okay.
Not yet.
Well, then, to be continued.
And yesterday, you know, we were talking, Walt, how the vibrational energy of the question can often be very different than the vibrational energy of the answer. And while I'm in the place, that's not me in the receiving mode.
That's true,
not me where I receive the answer.
Right.
But for my job, I didn't have any resistance doing what I needed to do because I had no investment in it whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. So, bam, it showed up.
Yeah, I was totally willing to, like, send an email back to the vendor going, sorry, can't help you, figure it out yourself, but in a nicer way. But part of me went, you know, let's see if I can just take a stab at it, because sometimes I do like to, all the time, I like to investigate. That's my thing. I love to investigate things. So I went, let's just go play investigator. I have a little bit of time. Boom, I did it.
And so, it was worthwhile, too. You got some nice feedback as a result of doing that investigation, feedback that reinforced for you, yeah, it's actually all working.
It is all working. This is just a different area. I'm kind of out on a limb doing an experiment. It's something new. It's uncharted territory, you know. And I know all uncharted territory feels uncomfortable until it's been charted.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah.
Once it's charted, it's like, it's, you know, we've been there, done that, got the T-shirt.
Yeah. I mean, I'm paving the way right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paving the way. So this is like a new space for Wendy, and that's good, you know.
Well, then we're going to pray for a well-financed paving contract.
Yay! And I'll let you know tomorrow, you know, if I can, like, get out of the way and...
I have no doubt.
You know what? Actually, during the night, For me, it was during the night, but it was like probably 5:45 my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call, and it was like not a solicitor call, but somebody wanting to say, hey, vote for this judge in the upcoming election, which I thought, really? I can't believe somebody would dare to make a phone call that early in the morning.
Mm.
So anyway, you know, I hit block call and moved on. But of course, now I was kind of like wide awake at 5:45,
yeah,
and I
right.
really don't get up until 8. And while I was just kind of lying there in bed, I had this sense of stillness. And it was something that was so potent in my awareness. I was like, wow, I'm really still. I mean, even that call didn't like shake me. It's like, I just feel this stillness. And then I would, like, just hear phrases in my head, like, you know, the song Stillness of the Night,
mm-hmm.
where there's some song with that lyric. You know, I kind of heard that, and I go, am I making that up? And it was like, no, I'm receiving that. And I'm like, okay. And I was just kind of asking questions about this stillness and this quietness. And I was kind of being led to believe, like, this really is a new place for me, because stillness is totally not who I normally am. Normally, I'm there's always emotion going on within me and outside
okay.
of me
mm-hmm.
and with my body and with my mind. I'm a constant doer.
Okay.
And I've been asking to slow down and to be able to not be living in stress. And I, of course, didn't know what that would be because I've never done that. I've never lived in that space. But I was really noticing last night or this morning, there was just this level of stillness. I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. This is different. This is new. I wonder what I'll do with it. I wonder if this is a great place to create from. And I just was spinning all sorts of questions while I was in it. But I wasn't spinning the questions so much that it caused me to start feeling the buzzing that I normally live in. It still felt really still.
Well, so, I think the question should be spread out a little bit more, not just is this a good place to create in, but is it also a good space to create in because it feels good, or does it not so feel so good? If it feels good, it almost certainly is a good space, because, I mean, that's almost like meditation. And meditation, right, that's where you're calming your mind up so you can do your creation.
It totally felt like meditation, and I had an awareness that this was a place of complete non-resistance.
So that's got to be good.
Yeah, I almost felt detached from my body. And remember yesterday in the call, I was saying how I had been experiencing kind of this light trance state
mm-hmm.
instead of like hyper consciousness.
Yeah.
So what I was experiencing when I was not yet totally awake kind of felt like a continuation of that. I'm not quite sure where I'm going with this, because it's just stuff that is happening to me. But I love sharing it and talking about it. So that, you know, as and if it continues to progress, you know, will you and our listeners kind of will be a witness for me of what I've experienced.
Well, is it possible that experience of stillness was the universe's answer to your question? What do I do? How do I handle this?
Possibly.
Because it would certainly be a great place to be if you're in kind of a waiting mode. You know, you're having to be patient, so you get yourself still so you can, you know, focus on other things. It's not like you don't have anything else going on in your life, you know, so
right.
there's a nice way to just say, okay, calm, still, great, now I move on to my next thing.
Well, what's interesting is in the past, I would say if I had a desire to be calm, that didn't come easily to me. But when you just asked me the question, I kind of immediately said, okay, Wendy, can you like replicate that feeling that you had?
Mm.
And I got it for about 2 seconds. It was like, there it is. And like right now, there it is again. So maybe because I have experienced it, I can just call for it and it's there.
Why not?
That was a cool thing.
Yeah, why not? I would say that absolutely yes, of course you can do that. And you just got validation for it.
Well, before I wouldn't have said absolutely yes, because that was not something. Like, if somebody said, well, can you just calm down? The answer would have been no. I don't even know how to do that. I mean, if I go and purposely meditate, then yes, I can. But just in any given moment to just go, okay, Wendy, it's time to chill. That usually didn't work. And right now what I'm noticing is if I just breathe, I'm back there again. I'm back in that stillness. It's really quite lovely.
Wendy has a new superpower.
I'll tell you, Walt. You know, I got to say, one of my biggest things that excites me about the show is that it always brings me to another level. You know, because everything we do in life has a selfish motive. So even though we're doing it for listeners, we also do it for ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that the part for me is having a place to share these kinds of things that are unique, and know that I want something new every day so that I have it to share. And so that's kind of starting to pick up momentum because I wasn't planning on talking about the stillness that happened in the wee hours of the night because I kind of had already forgotten about it. So it's really cool to like remember it consciously and know because of the question you asked, I can actually call up that feeling at will. Ooh, love that.
That's very good. That's cool stuff. No matter how you look at that, that is cool because you've just added to your quiver, so to speak. You've got one more arrow. One more
Absolutely.
Tool that you can use to do what you need to do as you're moving forward. That's really good. That's a victory.
So since we know I don't ever read ahead in the book, I wonder how much what I just talked about is going to be in what we read, because it almost always is.
Yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised. Actually, what we have coming up is a little bit of a dialogue, so that makes it almost certain that there's going to be something tied into what you were just talking about. So let's dive into it.
I'm going to read Jerry or Abraham.
I'll do Jerry, you do Abraham, okay?
All right.
Okay, so the subsection is entitled, How Do I Find Out What I Really Want? And Jerry asks, one of the most common concerns I've heard over the years is people saying, well, I just don't know what I want. So how do we know what we want?
And Abraham says, you have come forth into this physical life experience with the intention of experiencing the variety and contrast for their very purpose of determining your own personal preferences and desires.
So Jerry asks, could you give us an idea of a process we could use to find out what we want?
Abraham says, your life is continually helping you identify what you want. Even as you are keenly aware of something that you do not want, in that moment you are becoming more clear about what you do want. And it is helpful to make the statement, I want to know what I want. Because in your conscious awareness of that intention, the attraction process is intensified.
So Jerry asks, so the person who's telling me I want to know what I want is at that moment beginning to find out what they want?
And Abraham responds, through the experience of life, you cannot help but identify from your perspective, your personal opinions and preferences. I prefer to do this. I like to do more of that. I want to experience this. I don't want to experience that. You cannot help but come to your own conclusions as you sift through the details of your own life experience. We do not believe that people are having such a difficult time deciding what they want as much as they do not believe that they can receive what they want.
Well, there it is, right there. That's exactly what the premise of your presentation about Project X today was all about. Right there.
Yeah. That's where the doubt is. In believing that I can actually have the thing that really is so important to me.
There it is. Yep.
Okay. Well, let's see what Abraham has to tell me today.
Okay.
So because they have not understood, or we could say because Wendy has not understood the powerful law of attraction, and because they have not been consciously aware of their own vibrational offering. Oh, that's big. Yeah, I'm not aware of my vibrational offering. My body is not vibrating in a way that I feel it or I know it. I just kind of have to trust or have faith that my body is vibrating to that which I want because I keep focusing on it and feeling it and being excited by it.
Which is what the actual indication of vibration is, isn't it? That you're feeling, what kind of feeling you're having about it, whether it's positive, negative, neutral, somewhere in between?
Yeah, but it's not, like, for me, I'll say that the feelings that I've had are more a feeling of like releasing the past or releasing the door that, you know, the area that I told you is on the side of the door that I know is coming to an end.
Right.
So I'm definitely feeling that, but it doesn't come with like huge fanfare. It's kind of subtle, but I feel it. I mean, it's not like I don't feel it, but you know, if somebody like zapped me with what are those zappers that policemen use these days?
Oh, stun guns.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody hit me with a stun gun, every time I knew I was vibrating, my vibrational offering was being sent out into the universe, then I'd go, okay, I know it's all good, even though it would hurt like hell. But at least the feeling of a stun gun would be an indicator in a bold enough way that I couldn't not know that I was actually vibrating what I want to vibrate.
That actually presumes that after you got stunned, you had enough awareness to even feel that you were vibrating, because if you're stunned, you don't have any awareness, not for that moment.
Oh, but it's so subtle that it's sometimes hard for me to actually just lock on and go, yep, I'm doing it.
Well, take it from me. I can tell you from experience, it's best to avoid the 2x4. So go for the subtle.
Oh, thank you. So, okay, let's see what else they have to say. I'm going to read that sentence again. So because they have not understood the powerful law of attraction, and because they are not consciously aware of their own vibrational offering, they have not experienced any conscious control over the things that have come into their own experience. Many have experienced the discomfort, oh my gosh, there's my word, of really wanting something and working very hard to try to achieve it, but only continue to hold it back, to hold it away because they were offering thoughts of lack of it more predominantly than thoughts of receiving it. So over time, they began to associate the receiving of wanted things with hard work, struggle, and disappointment. Now, there's much more to go on, but I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah, there's a lot right there.
Yeah, I have. I mean, like, when our listeners have their free copy of our book where they can read it digitally online, they'll read my stories, and every one of them is filled with effort, hard work, disappointment, followed by more hard work, followed by more disappointment. That is what I have come to associate with manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And right now I'm experiencing ease. That's kind of freaking me out.
Well, of course it's going to freak you out. I mean, your entire experience is the other way. How could it not freak you out?
Yeah, how could it not freak me out? So now I hear myself as though I was my own client, and I would say to myself, really, take a chill pill. It's okay. This is normal. This is actually a normal part of the process, which means you're in the process, which means you're moving in the right direction. This is normal. Oh, Wendy just got her own. I just got an insight right now. I'm going to throw this out here.
Okay.
So I have in the past been such a hard worker toward achieving the things that mean something to me, that what I've been doing through the stillness and through the not efforting has been the slowing of the momentum train of hard work. And now I'm at the point the train has come into the station and stopped. It has just turned around and pivoted in the other direction. And it's not out of the station yet. That's why it's still, it's quiet, it's slow.
That's the stillness.
But it's pointed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I just got right now. That's the download.
Well, that's good. So there's another win for the day right there.
Yeah, and see, you asked, well, have you asked your inner being? And I said, yes, but I wasn't in a space to receive it. Well, obviously, right now I was.
Yeah.
Because there it came.
There it is. Very good. Well done.
All right. Yeah. So let's see what else Abraham has to say now as I've had this new awareness. So when they say, I don't know what I want, what they really mean is, I don't know how to get what I want, or I'm not willing to do what I think I need to do to try to get what I want. And I really don't want to work hard or so hard again, only to have the discomfort of still not getting what I want.
Yeah, I'll add another one in there. I'll add another variation. The other variation that I've experienced a lot of is I don't dare to even try to believe what I want, so I'm not going there.
Because not even trying is what for you?
Safe. I can't be disappointed that way, right?
Gotcha.
You know?
So you're avoiding disappointment.
Avoiding disappointment, yeah.
I've certainly done that.
Yeah.
Okay, so they said to make the statement, I want to know what I want, is the first and powerful step in deliberate creation. Wow, I didn't know that, Walt. So I'm going to say it again. To make the statement, I want to know what I want, is the first and powerful step in deliberate creation. But then, a deliberate directing of your attention to the things that you want to attract into your experience must come next. Most people have not been deliberately
Can I interrupt for a second there? I just want to go back and kind of highlight that. Because it starts with, to make the statement, I want to know what I want, that is a first step in deliberate creation. But then a deliberate directing of your attention to the things you want to attract into your experience must come next. In other words, once you've said, I want to know what I want, then you have to start paying attention to the things that you want. You have to pay attention to a couple things there, don't you? You have to pay attention to any clues you're getting in answer to your question. Like if you don't really have a clear idea of what is it that I want, well, you've asked the question. I want to know what I want. And now you have to be aware of any response you're getting, any impulse, any intention, anything that comes to you, verbally or otherwise. You have to be ready to be aware of it. And then, once you get it, then you have to start focusing on it. You have to start doing stuff with it. You have to start playing with it. It isn't enough to just say, I want to know what I want. Okay, I'm done.
Very good point. There has to be a deliberate directing of your attention to the things that you want to attract into your experience.
Yeah.
That must come next. So if you don't really know what you want, but you're saying, I want to know what I want. Because honestly, at the beginning of my Project X, that's kind of where I was. I said, I know I want, because I knew I want something different. This Project X was born out of contrast. I'm experiencing something in my life that does not give me passion. It's a neutral thing for me. It's something I'm good at, but it's not something that I'm passionate about. And so I went, well, okay, if I want to do something I'm passionate about, what would that be? And my first answer was, I don't know.
I've had that one.
I kept asking over a period of weeks, you know, what do I want? What is it I really want? I know what I don't want. So sometimes I'd look at what I don't want and I'd kind of name it and label it and poke around at it and go, okay, well, I must want what that is not. So what would that be?
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of kept playing with it until I found some juicy adjectives or, you know, like end states of being, you know, how it would feel. And I'm like, yeah, now that's feeling good. But I didn't know what the vehicle would be. I still am not 100% sure what the vehicle is that will be attached to the feelings when Project X is in its fulfilled state.
I have a feeling you're going to start getting some information about that really soon, especially if you're right that you've kind of reversed that momentum about doing, doing, doing. Because if that's been reversed truly, if it's truly reversed and now you're just in the I'm going to think it there mode rather than I'm going to make it happen by my action mode, something along the line of what you're now asking as your new question, that's got to start coming pretty soon, I would think.
Well, and as you were saying that, what was coming to me was kind of like a visual of if I was going, I was still on the side of the equation of the door that's now closing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm on the side of the street that I don't want to be on. And so I was still looking at what I don't want to be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But if what I just said is that the train has come to the station, has turned around, it's not yet ready to go, but it's now pointing in the right direction. It means visually I would no longer be looking at where I am. I would now be looking at where I'm going.
Right.
And perhaps I've never really looked at it before, not in the way that now energetically is going to be possible for me.
Ooh, interesting. Never having looked at it before, which is something that we very easily do. I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed. I've noticed on multiple occasions that when I'm trying to focus on something new, when I'm trying to, you know, attract and trying to flesh out the details of something new, something that I want to be, you know, to come into my life, I find that very early on, I realize there are large, large blank gaps in the little limited amount that I've imagined. You know what I mean?
I relate to that. Yeah, I do relate to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of the process here is really taking the time to just work through it so you can fill in those gaps. Because when we fill in those gaps, like when I'm filling in those gaps by, even if I'm just imagining a story, making it up, I am making the picture, in a sense, more real. I'm making the whole more real to me.
And I sense me being still and being purposefully focused in the direction of where I'm going. And even though right now I'm looking, my eyes are open, whether my eyes are open or closed, because I kind of am testing going both directions, I don't really see anything out there yet, but I have an awareness there's a lot of stuff out there. My eyes just have not come into focus yet to see it. Kind of like if you're driving at night, and like here in Texas, it was really foggy the other night, where like you could barely see like 4 or 5 car lengths ahead of you on the highway. It was so foggy. And I'm kind of getting that impression. Like right now, the fog is so thick, I can't really see what really is there, because I know when I drive these same highways and there's no fog, I can see a far distance. I see all sorts of stuff down the road. But as long as there's fog, I'm not seeing it, even though I know it's there. So it's like I don't have the evidence of it being there, but I have a knowing it's there. And that's kind of what I'm imagining right now is like later today when I'm not working, when I'm not on, you know, doing the show with you, I'll let myself be still with the purpose of looking in the direction of where I'm going. And just asking to begin to see it, asking for the clarity to begin to show up. Because what I'm sensing right now, this is like the download I'm getting in this moment, is as I do that, it will get more exciting inside of me. Mm-hmm. As in like the stillness will turn from stillness to sheer exuberance. Bounce, you know, this is how I do it. Bouncing off the walls with so much excitement that then Project X, in my awareness, will no longer be a doubtful, am I making this up? It'll be, oh my God, I feel it so intensely. Yeah, it's there. Like, there's no doubt in my mind it's there. So.
You also mentioned the word imagined. You said, as I imagined it, as you were discussing that fog and what might be beyond that fog. Have you actually thought about, maybe even tried imagining in the way that a little kid imagines? Like, just kind of pick something that would be a real cool aspect of whatever that thing is that's coming and just, you know, invent it, pretend that it's there and play with it a little bit?
Sometimes, but it doesn't feel easy. And I know that when something's not easy, it's because I'm not in the right place to do it. Mm. Like, I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. And so what you just suggested, it's like I sense that is where I'm going.
Oh, okay.
To where those imaginations will be easy instead of me efforting to create something that I can't see.
Well, it should be like something that will come pretty quick, I think, because we've already identified the fact that the effort train has come to a stop. So
yeah.
It's going to come pretty quick, I think.
Well, and what I really think is cool is, you know, I hesitated before you and I got on the call together to talk about the doubt, but I really felt, oh, it's as important to talk about the doubt as it is to talk about the exciting things.
Sure.
Because I'm basically journaling through words my journey of Project X.
That's right.
And what just came to me now is when I was talking about, you know, being excited as the clarity of the imagination start to come alive to me and I start getting exuberant, and all of a sudden there is no doubt. What popped in for me was that was the purpose for the doubt.
Uh-huh.
The doubt was contrast so that I could turn in another direction and what rocket of desire, as Abraham says, was created and born out of having that uncomfortable doubt, is so that I could have such incredible certainty that there is no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get goosebumps when I say that, and I have always believed that when you get goosebumps, and Abraham has said this too, that's because vibrationally you and your inner being are so simpatico, so aligned, so on the same wavelength that it's kind of like explosive in my senses.
All right, so then.
I can have a day of doubt if I could get a level of certainty that's beyond belief. Oh yeah, I'm there. I'm all over it.
And actually, I don't think you even need a whole day. You can probably get it done in 2 hours.
Well, it started last night, and so it's gone into today, so it has felt like a whole day. But yeah, it's dwindling quickly because I'm already imagining myself going into that still place where I could start to look and have the blinders lifting. So yeah, I'm all excited about that.
Now, there is, of course, a flip side to this whole thing about about deliberately directing our thought toward what we want, which is not deliberately directing our thought toward what we want. That's what Abraham talks about next. So let's look at what he has to say there, or what they have to say there. Excuse me. Sure, okay.
I've been doing a lot of talking. Why don't you read it?
Okay. It says, most people have not been deliberately directing their thoughts toward the things that they really want, but instead are simply observing whatever is going on around them. So when they see something that pleases them, they feel positive emotion. But when they see something that displeases them, they feel negative emotion. In italics, few realize that they can control the way they feel and positively affect the things that come into their life experience by deliberately directing their thoughts. But because they are not accustomed to doing that, it takes practice. That is the reason why we encourage the creative workshop process, which we talked about a few weeks ago. By deliberately directing your thoughts and by creating pleasing mental scenarios in your own mind that induce good feeling emotions within you, you begin to change your own point of attraction. Again, in italics, the universe, which is responding to the thoughts that you are thinking, does not distinguish between a thought brought about by your observation of some reality you have witnessed and a thought brought about by your imagination. In either case, the thought equals your point of attraction. And if you focus upon it long enough, it will become your reality. So there we are talking about again, the difference between focusing on reality and focusing on our imagination and actively learning to use our imagination. It's the same thing every time. It all comes down to storytelling, doesn't it? What kind of stories are we able to tell each other and ourselves? And it's a skill that we're really well served to learn.
For a long time, I would hear Abraham talking about your point of attraction. And somehow that phrase eluded me from really understanding it. And I kind of asked, my own inner being, can I get a visual? Could I get a new example? Can I call a lifeline? I really need some help in understanding this. And eventually, I saw the image of a compass. And when I think about how on a compass, it always points it'll always point toward north, always. Mm-hmm. That's what a compass does. And what that showed me is like, okay, I get it. I'll always know north. I can never really get lost if I always have a point of reference.
Mm-hmm.
And like my point of attraction is the direction that I'm heading. So calling it north is the easy one. So if I want to go due north, it's really easy. I look on the compass and I see which direction it's pointing. And it's like, that's the point. That's the direction. Move in it. And so that was kind of where I started. And then I started to recognize I can actually shift my point of attraction. And then it was kind of like my visual went to a Twister board game. You flip the little thingy on Twister,
right,
and you can move toward red, yellow, green, blue, whatever the four colors are. But it's like I realized, oh, I can move my point of attraction. I can actually manually move on the Twister board if I want to, instead of just doing the random thing by just spinning it in circles. I can move it. And it's like, ooh, that's like me as a deliberate creator.
Yeah.
I can move my attention, just like I can move the pointer on a board game to go where I want to go. And that point of attraction is what the universe is able to recognize to match me up with stuff. It started to help me really understand how I can control my own point of attraction based on what I choose to focus my attention on. So if I'm focused on, like, a door, and I focus on a door, and I focus on a door, and I focus on a door, law of attraction is going to bring me all sorts of mental images of doors, thoughts about doors, metaphoric doors, you know, because that's what I'm focusing on. But if I move my attention to my eyeglasses, and right now I'm flipping my eyeglasses in my hand, and it's like, if I just keep thinking about eyeglasses, you know, it's like, okay, the first thought that just came to me was magnifying glass is another kind of eyeglass. And I have a pair of computer glasses that are sitting at my desk. And it's like, the more I focus on glasses, see, I just changed it from eyeglasses to glasses. Mm-hmm. Immediately, I have a glass of iced tea sitting next to me. And when I change the word from eyeglasses to glasses, my eyes immediately went to the glass of iced tea. And so that's like, if I'm playing the Twister game, I have just, you know, landed on glasses.
Yeah, right.
And everything I'm doing right now is glasses. But it's like, it's that simple that we can shift our attention.
And in that shifting of the attention, we're also giving ourselves fodder for that story we're trying to put together. Because you just described it, you know, you start focusing on something and you arbitrarily chose glasses. So you start focusing on glasses and now you got all these different ideas and examples of glasses coming into your awareness. Well, that gives you your data, your fodder, your stuff that you can refer to when you're starting to tell your new story. So you can actually tell a story now. You can make a story up about glasses based on the information that you've gotten just in the last few seconds.
So I have a custard cup. I had a bowl of applesauce before the show. That's made of glass. I have a mirror in front of me. That's made of glass. There's a picture frame on the wall, and it has a glass covering. It's like, that's glass. And I'm looking at my lighting above my head, and it's like, that's made of glass. And all of a sudden, now I'm seeing all these things. The face of the clock has glass on it. You know, I have a vase that's made of glass. You know what? Until I started focusing on glass, Walt, I sit in this same chair every day when we do the show. I had no idea how much glass I was sitting near. None whatsoever. I didn't think about it as glass, but I just focused there. And boom, my attention drew all of those things into my awareness.
This is one of the aspects,
that's
too.
That's fascinating.
It is fascinating. This is one of the things that's also really cool on the exploration of law of attraction and science of deliberate creation and so forth on that side of it in relation to the, quote, real world side of it. Because there's also a real world explanation that dovetails perfectly with it. And that's the whole idea of that little piece of brain at the top of the brain stem, the ARAS. That's why we abbreviate it, because it's too hard to say these things. But that's exactly what the ARAS does. You focus on one thing, and it lets you see a whole bunch of other stuff just like it, because it's filtering out everything except the stuff that you need to see. So here's a perfect example of how the two processes work perfectly together. Your little mechanism in your brain works with the information that's coming to you through your impulses and thoughts and so forth that are being fed to you. They're working in dovetail. They're working in complete cooperation with each other. And in that cooperation, they set you up for all kinds of stuff that you can turn it into, because you're the creator.
And I choose to believe that those two things always work in tandem. I think perhaps a scientist might, if they choose to disregard law of attraction because it's not something they could see, they may focus only on, oh no, that's just a function in your brain. But I like to think that we're connected to everything, and so law of attraction is connected to our body and our brain and, you know, everything.
Oh yeah.
I believe everything is connected.
And you're right. I mean, scientists are going to reject LOA for quite some time. It's going to take them a long time before they come around on it. But I don't even worry about it from that perspective. I just thought it's really cool that I can draw on science and I can draw on LOA at the same time, and they both work together.
Well, and I think sometimes when you can draw on another study, if you will, or another aspect of our life, it helps to support
exactly
other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about the belief factor. That helps nail the belief down. It makes it easier to keep focusing on the thing over and over again so you can believe it. So let's see. We do have 10 minutes left. We can probably get into the next section, but I want to also make sure that we do something that we've kind of been neglecting the last few afternoon podcasts, which is telling people about things that we want them to do, like subscribing and sharing, like you know, making sure that you are a subscriber so you get a copy of the free ebook, like, you know, being aware of the Tuesday night podcast and joining us on that. By the way, Wendy, a win I forgot to tell you about. We're now over 26,000 plays, and Tuesday night we had more people listening live than we have ever had for any podcast before.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I mean, it was like 50% higher than our previous high. Now, it's not a huge number because obviously most of our listeners are podcast listeners, so they listen after it's recorded, but still, that was great. And the only thing that lacked was we didn't have anybody actually take advantage and talk to us. But that's going to come, because when you got enough people listening live at the time that it's happening, that's going to come. So, I mean, that was really cool. I just have to mention that. But getting back to subscribe and share, it's all on the website. It's all on the homepage now. So all you have to do is go to loatoday.net. You'll see the player at the top. That's the live player. Whenever you want to hear a live podcast, that's where you can listen to it. And you also find instructions for how to subscribe to the podcast. It's all laid out right there. I won't even try to explain it anymore because it's all right there. And then right below that, you can find how to share, because there's like 5,000 different social media icons there. Well, maybe not 5,000. Maybe 4,365. But but there are a lot of them.
What I think is really cool is on the right rail of the website, you have different categories.
Yeah.
And so let's say somebody's really interested in learning more about this book we're working on.
Right.
And that's all you want to like listen to right now for your podcast listening. Well, you can click on the Law of Attraction book and it'll just bring up every single show we've done on that.
Exactly.
Or what's the book that you're doing with Cindy now?
Let's see. With Cindy, we're doing Money and the Law of Attraction.
Okay, if you want to know about Money and the Law of Attraction, I believe there's a link for that.
There is.
And it'll take you to all those shows.
Yep.
Or if in particular you've listened to, you know, Walt talk about Joel Elstein and how, you know, he loves working with him and he's been doing shows with him for a long time, you know, click on the link for Joel and it'll bring up all the podcasts that Walt has done with Joel. Just like if you like this show and you just, you know, you want to listen to more of, like, my Project X updates, you know, click on the Wendy Dillard link. But you've, like, well, you've done such a good job of categorizing that no matter what our listeners want to do, whatever order they want to listen to our podcast, you've made it really easy for them to make some selections.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I did that deliberately. And by the way, they're not mutually exclusive. It's not like you have to choose between subscribing and then going to the categories and doing it that way. You can actually do both. You can actually both get the subscription and go to the categories and work through
whatever subject
you want to. Yeah. So take advantage of and do that, because we like to have the subscribers, obviously. But it's more than that. It's that people who subscribe do tend to listen to all the episodes. I mean, when we look at the numbers, we know people are listening over and over and over again every month to different episodes. So it's basically your ticket for getting easy access to all the episodes. And the sharing part is where other people who don't even know about us, because let's be perfectly honest, most of the world doesn't know that we're doing this podcast. So we got to get the word out there. And
that's so hard to believe, and yet it's
I know, it's true, though. It's true. And how better to do it than to have those who are enjoying it the most share it, because if you know that you enjoy it, chances are really good other people you know are going to enjoy it, too. It's just a question of sharing it with them. So that's it. I'm off my soapbox, but I wanted to make sure I got that in while we got a little time left here.
I'm kind of curious. I know you and I both belong to the Facebook group.
Yep.
Law of Attraction Changed My Life.
Right.
I don't recall, but I know that you've, like, on a private level, responded to somebody and you shared with them the show. But, like, is that a Facebook group that you can actually, you know, say, hey, we have this show? Or is it?
Like, oh, yeah.
That would be advertising.
Well, I mean, I don't think they really want a lot of direct commercial type advertising, so I would probably not go in there and just, you know, post every day, okay, LOA Today is on the air. You know, that would probably kind of be annoying after a while. But I do tend to look for situations like, you know, I remember one time somebody actually posted, what's your favorite podcast? Well, I couldn't resist answering that one. And I said, well, I'm rather biased, but I have to say my favorite podcast is my own. And they said, oh, fine. Cool. They like that.
This is an awesome place where, like, I believe that third-party endorsements is so much more powerful than self-endorsement.
Oh, yeah.
So if you and I say, hey, we're hosting this podcast, come and listen to our show, yeah, if it's our friends, they'll kind of go, oh, that's cool. You know, Walt and Wendy, they're doing a show.
Yeah.
But if one of our listeners, like Lucy or one of the other people, you know, or Wes, you know, put it on their social media and say, hey, I have been listening to this and I love it. And I want to share this with you because, gosh, it can increase the positivity in your day as well. That kind of sharing is actually more potent than if Walt and I and all the other co-hosts share with our friends on our social media. So, you know, and maybe that's what you've been saying when you say share with friends, but I just kind of got it in a deeper way of how powerful it is when you share from your own experience that you're really enjoying the show. You know, and tell people, you know, I listen every night when I get home to one or two shows because it just really wraps up my day in a positive way and sets me up for a good day the next day. You know, if you share those things with your friends, I'm sure that they'll want to go, oh, well, I'll check that out too.
And I do know, we do know that there have been people who have shared. We can see it. I mean, actually, Facebook measures those things. I only recently put the huge collection of icons on there. Through a plugin that I picked up. That plugin actually keeps track of how many people shared. And so we now know there, I think it was, the other day it was like seven people had shared. Well, sharing's happening. Right. So that's a good thing.
But I wonder how many more people have shared before you put the sharing. Like they just posted on their own Facebook without doing a physical share.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's happened. I mean, just because we couldn't detect it doesn't mean it didn't happen. I'm sure it's happened.
Right.
Yeah. Which is also a good thing. So if you have been sharing, thank you. We appreciate that. And by the way, it worked out well. Do it again.
So, Mr. Techie, what does it look like if I were to click the share button on Facebook? What would it then look like? I mean, is it something that would then be posted on my timeline?
Yeah, well, it posts you. I actually haven't done it in a while, so I don't remember exactly what it looks like. But the gist of it is it takes you to your Facebook to your account, and then it opens up one of those little windows that you normally type in something about posting something, right? Well, it's the same kind of window. And then you also have options for who you want to share it with. You can actually be very specific, or you can share it with everybody, or whatever you want to do. But you have a lot of control about who you're sharing it with, and it's the same kind of thing as doing a post. It's just that you got like an attachment, so to speak. That's really what a share is it's a post with an attachment.
Cool.
Does that answer
it? Your daily dose of happy, that logo or that image, then like goes through to that's what's on the post?
Most likely it's that one because we don't have a lot of images on the site. But yeah, any image associated with whatever page you're on when you click a button like that is going to get picked up. And you're right, it's most likely going to be that one.
Very cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's fun stuff. Social media is just amazing and it's done a lot of good things. I mean, it's got its problems too. There's no doubt about that, but I look at the pluses. There have been so many pluses that have come out of social media. And I have to say, I was not an early adopter. I had skepticism about it. But it has proven itself. It's not just about, you know, taking a video of what the dog did in the yard. It's actually become a lot more than that. And that's a good thing. I like that. I think it's very, very good. I've seen more stuff now that was of a good nature that I would not have seen if not for social media. I mean,
I totally agree.
You know?
As a matter of fact, the stuff, the posts that I share are all things that I think are so unique and so inspiring. I don't just post like memes or words or whatever, inspirational quotes. I post things that, you know, usually are videos and go straight to the heart.
So it's all good stuff. And so is this. We've been having a good time doing this. Let's continue the discussion tomorrow. Sound good to you?
Okay. Yep, sounds great.
All right, and we'll invite you all back as well here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.